It is Friday, the 2nd of October 2015, and this is episode 260 of Digital Outbox. Hello, yep, 260 episodes in. Here we are, Chris hosting and Ian joining. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Ian.
I can say Ian joining.
I'm saying hello, Ian joining. Hello, Chris hosting.
How derogatory and besmalling of the owner and erstwhile leader of Digital Outbox.
Definitely not me.
Okay. Okay, we've had a couple of long podcasts over the last couple of, I say couple of weeks actually, we've only had one in the last couple of weeks, over the last couple of episodes, so we're going to try and speed this one through for you.
Basically, you want a quickie.
Ian, that's very forward.
Yeah.
Ad blocking is where we're going to start, because a new ad blocker is on the scene called Crystal. So we talked last week about Peace and the chap who built Peace was not very happy, wasn't at Peace. I am on fire this evening. It wasn't at peace with his app ad blocker. Thought he was blocking sort of people who didn't deserve to have money taken away from them. Therefore, removed his app from the app store. Crystal doesn't seem to have any qualms about taking money from people.
No, Crystal was out at the same time as Peace was, but it was free for the first day or something like that, and then afterwards it was going to charge. Mm-hmm. The reason I put this in, they've decided to partner with this company called EYEO, so E-Y-E-O, who are the ones behind Adblock, and who also take money from companies like Google and Microsoft to allow their adverts to go through the ad blocker.
Mm-hmm.
I am confused.
I know. So you buy an ad blocker that lets ads through based on how much money the person wants to spend doing it. So again, it's more money not going to end websites. It's being funneled off to middlemen. So yeah, it's all a little bit weird. You know, I think this is a developing market and we'll see what happens.
And to be fair to the developer, he's done a blog post saying it's going to take 6-8 weeks for me to incorporate this. And it will be optional. So you know, although I'm going to take a payment to do this from this company, you can switch it off in the app itself, so it can still be fully, you know, ad blocked. The bit I found most amusing is that the developer's also putting adverts out for his app, which is an ad blocker.
They're going to get blocked.
It's weird.
So, cheesy insight, my insight into this, what you really want is an ability to look at a web page, and if there's something offensive, something you don't like there, click block. And then it's within the advertisers, the service owners. It's their, what's the word I'm looking for? It's within their interest to make sure they don't serve up junk, clickbait, rubbish, tat, because they're going to have their network blocked by people. So you want almost a, you know, like an inspect element thing where you can click on the bit you don't want to see anymore, and it blocks that particular area of the page or that particular ad network. So something along those lines, then you can say, you know, if someone really wants to get rid of all the adverts, they can go and do that. And if they just want to go and get rid of these horrible clickbait type adverts, then they can do that too. There you go. Go build that. I think that'd be more fun. T-Mobile has exposed customer data from Experian. Is that, have I got that the right way around? Experian basically had the data breach and... This is this credit agency, kind of the people that you really, really don't want their data to be breached, has leaked security numbers for 15 million Americans. Is it just America that's affected?
Yes. So this is 15 million people in America. And you're correct, Experian are the... So years ago, my bank account got actually physically attacked, as in somebody walked into a branch of my bank and had a false check and emptied my account. And still to this day, I'm very suspicious that how did they know exactly how much to take?
Yeah.
It was all very... But after that, I use Experian. Just a couple of times to check my credit rating to make sure nobody else was doing
anything. I've used
Experian. So this is a bit of a showstopper in that... So T-Mobile, I've teamed up with Experian, really reputable name. They've had the data breach. But it's also taken things that you can't change, like social security numbers and passport numbers. you know, things that are part of your identity. Yeah. So this is a bit of a disaster, and there's a follow on story as well. Patreon have been hacked this week as well.
So Patreon is a service where you can go and pay websites, you can make donations to sites, you can have subscription type services. Is that right?
Yeah, lots of independent podcasters and independent app developers have been using it almost like a tip jar. Really like this. There's a dollar, you know. So there's some of the podcasts I follow, and they've got, you know, maybe 2,000 people tipping a dollar a week, you know.
It's such a shame that hackers are going after these services. Experian kind of shows them caught with their pants down, makes them look like, you know, dickish. But something like a donation site, it just makes people overly wary of donating money on services. So it just seems a shame to go hacking these kind of services.
And I'm sure there's a to devil's advocate, there'll be something in the hacker community saying, but we're doing this deliberately to show you how they are not, you know, looking after your data. Patreon.
I understand that, as long as then they don't go and dump that data all over the place. There's no morality. That's my point.
Because initially Patreon put out saying, you know, usernames, hash passwords, some of your data, but no credit card information, none of this, none of that, blah, blah, blah. But then today there's a 15 gig dump file appeared, and it's not just user data. It's messages from, you know, people to, you know, some of the Patreon hosts or Patreon, you know, parties, private messages, source code of how the Patreon website and apps work.
So what they're saying is it's not just a data leak hack, so some injection attack. It's actually someone's gained virtual physical access to those servers and has downloaded the whole lot.
Yeah, and I'm probably feeling a bit sore because I got a phone call at 6:30 last night to say my credit card had been hacked.
Or from the, which one?
So this was Santander, phoned up and said, just want to check some of your purchases. And I'm thinking, fair enough, bought a drone, bought a camera, probably looking at it going, you sure you're buying all this? And it was like, Bank of Nigeria. And as soon as she said it, I was like, I know it's a racist thing, just stop. Just assume if it's Nigerian, it's fake.
Well, I think they have assumed that. That's why they're ringing you, right?
You'd think that, but they actually authorised the previous day's payment of £600 to them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the reason they phoned about today's one was for like $8,000 and my credit card limit was $7,000.
Right.
And they thought, this is a bit fishy. And I was like, I wish you'd phoned yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just a bit sore because it's like, you know, I make sure that I do it. You know, so yes, I use it online and you do all the right things, but at the end of the day, you've said it before, all my data is out there somewhere, shape or form.
Yeah, I mean, I've used Experian, I've used the other credit check firms before, and they are the least, that's more annoying than I get from something like this Patreon service, which I can kind of, you know, I think it's a shame that people try and break through those sort of systems, but with Experian that they might have some people there that are taking care of your data.
Especially that's their, you know, their reason for living.
Veg.
You know, that's why we're here.
Karma Police. British, this is a program run by the British GCHQ surveillance program. They hooked into the artery that land the internet artery backbone that comes in via Cornwall. And they occasionally fished in to see what they could find. And this had no judicial overview, no limits, no rate, no oversight, nothing of that nature. This has all come to light for another Snowden report leak this morning. I say this morning, it probably wasn't this morning, was it?
No, it was a week ago. But, but hey, we're on the pulse.
I'm good at it, yeah.
I you've kind of covered it already. There's Snowden, who actually incidentally owned Twitter this week, so at Snowden, I think is his account, and he followed the CIA, I think is his only person he followed or whatever, and his tweet the next day was, I wish I'd turned off notifications. He got 47 gigabyte of notifications from people, from new followers, retweets, favorites.
Wow.
So,
gosh.
But back to this, yeah, it's the bit that's disappointing is the lack of oversight. You know, it's like, it just, Just seems they've had free will to do what they like, and
it's kind of highlighted how, you know, the kind of how they used this technology to then break into something that they wanted to understand and sort of shut someone down or a group down. But there's no reason why that can't come with judicial oversight or some sort of overview that's outside of the agency. There's no reason that can't happen, and they'll say it's a speed thing. But they just, you know, I don't buy it.
No.
Don't buy it. No. I understand it, but I don't buy it.
I can understand it. And certain bits of me actually thinks it probably should be, but it just needs more oversight and more understanding of what
it just
doing.
Needs agreement that that's what they're allowed to do. Yeah. You know, that's all, and it needs agreement from the right people with full overview. Oh, yeah. Every time anyone asks, it's just top secret. You can't know that. So anyway, people, do you want to review your friends, family, lovers?
Let me think about that. No.
Bosses? Do you want to review your boss?
No.
Do you want people to review you?
Exactly.
This is the new people service. People spelt P-E-E-P-L-E. Bit of unknowns about this at the moment, but it's effectively going to be set up for people to review you on a star basis, because obviously you can break someone's personality down into a 5-star ranking system. But yeah, essentially it's going to allow people to create accounts, and as long as they know your mobile address, mobile phone number, they can leave you a review. Now, if you don't choose to join this service, only positive reviews will get actually shown. There's a lot of terms and conditions on this service, apparently, about what you can and cannot say. But there doesn't seem to be any way you can opt out of this service, though. It doesn't sound like you can stop someone reviewing you.
If I join, which I won't be doing, but if I join, I can add you as long as I've got your mobile number.
I don't know how they know that's my mobile number.
Exactly. So it always seems a bit woolly, but seemingly I need to know your mobile number, and then I can, like, I guess, add you and rate you. You can't remove that. You can't get in touch and say, I want to come off that. Although they might consider that in the future, but that's not how they want it to work.
Yeah. Apparently if someone submits a bad review against you, you're going to get a message for 48 hours notice for you to make it up with that person. And if you don't happen to, after that, the 48 hours is up, the review goes out, and then you have to defend yourself publicly. Now, this is the brainchild of somebody called Julia Cordray. She's a marketeer, apparently.
That's one word for her.
I really don't like the idea of this in the slightest, especially how they're sort of not letting you opt out. I think they're in for a very, very painful ride, I have to say. I don't think this is going the distance.
So this bubbled up this week, and even the fact that they said it's a positivity app for positive people.
Rubbish.
It was just garbage. They've not thought through...
They probably have. They've just ignored it.
Maybe, but they've not thought through the internet. They've not thought through racism, sexism. All the other isms that are out there that are just going
to... My goodness me, there's going to be very few positive reviews, is what I would condition and predict. Yeah.
I don't know. So everybody jumped on this probably, what, yesterday and the day before, and saying this is ridiculous. And they went into total, you know, kind of walls up mode.
Yeah.
Including, you know, like... complaining to Twitter that there was fake accounts getting set up in their name and they're going to take them down, and wanting to control comments in Facebook and remove people's comments and annoyed at Facebook.
All the kind of things that they're trying to stop you from doing on their service. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, so all the things that you're saying, you know, you can't do this and can't do that. Why can't Facebook let us delete comments? Why can't we control our message? And it probably did feel like a PR team.
There's a big whiff of clickbait about this.
Yeah.
Now, whether it is or not, I actually think that some marketeers are probably not clever enough to realize that what they're doing is so objectionable.
So Snopes.com, which is always the kind of site to go to if there's a, you know, something doing the rounds. Like, there was a story this week about the 500 quid a week or month like bed under the stairs that somebody had put as a room. And it was all, but nobody can find the estate agent and nobody can find out where it came from. And it's like, it's cool. So Snopes usually is the best place to go. If you think something's a bit whiffy or somebody's, you know, there's loads of people talking about it, they'll, you know, bit of research. Here's what.
If you want to find out which of your friends you need to defriend on Facebook because they keep sharing dumbass fake stories, go to Snopes.com.
Or the ones that are saying, you know, I don't want Facebook to pay for, I don't want to pay for my privacy, and they're putting up little comments. You're like,
it does great.
Anyway, so Snopes basically are saying this is marketing bull and no more, because they're doing a web, they're doing webisodes about how they're going to develop the app over the next 90 days, and it'll be in beta this month and it's out next month, and lots of people in the industry saying there's no way they're going to get this out in time.
I don't think it'll matter if they get anything out at all. It's purely down, it just will not go the distance. It will be attacked. If it is a real thing, it'll get attacked. It'll, you know, can you imagine a politician having bad reviews put on a site like that and them not, you know, making a stink about it? Can you imagine the story when a kid gets bullied on there? You know, all those things, it's going to happen, and they are going to disappear as a service, basically.
And from Snopes, a tidbit about it in the tail end of the Washington Post article, similarly hinted at the entire process being orientated more to Cordray's publishing of a reality web series about the app's process.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
So, you know, let's make up a big storm, let's do something that people will hate, people will then want to watch the behind the scenes, and it's all car crash TV.
Problem is, I can still see that marketing meeting where someone said, yeah, that's a great idea.
So can I, but it's like we've talked before about things like, like Google and Facebook could do face detection and do it automatically, mm-hmm. but you know that's a creepy line and don't go beyond it. And this
not yet.
Exactly. And who, I mean, I guess everybody gets conditioned. Easy for me to say.
iPlayer is going to be moving away from Flash on all devices. So obviously they've been away from Flash on the iPads and iOS devices for a while now, but they are going to roll that out across desktop as well. Sort of, it's, you have to opt in at the moment, I think, but basically, I guess they're thinking it's...
Yeah. And it's only in certain browsers. So Safari, for example, isn't supported on Mac.
There you go.
But that is down to certain standards that Apple aren't supporting in Safari that BBC are having to rely on.
It's just Apple's Safari is getting more and more and more and more locked down. And unfortunately, it just means that it's less and less and less and less useful.
But hey, I can pin tabs.
Safari is the new Internet Explorer 6, basically. It's the one you have to develop around.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agreed.
Or it's going to come up eventually with signs just saying, we cannot support Safari anymore. We cannot do web servicing.
Browser choice is actually quite poor now.
Yeah.
And I probably still use Safari the most because I don't like Chrome as much because it is quite bloaty and slow. Yeah. And Firefox is... I don't know. I think back 4 or 5 years, I just think browsers were a bit more... better. I'm not even convinced.
The internet was a simpler place.
Even convinced that whole web app thing is actually borne out to be true.
Yeah, no, I think you might be right.
We seem to be moving to it's apps, not web. But
we say sitting in a browser with Google Apps open, using Google Docs, using Hangouts with video conferencing in a browser.
You've burst my balloon.
Virgin Media, 200 megabits per second broadband. So it's another one of these Virgin rollouts. I guess you're probably quite happy about this.
I guess it's getting to the speed where it's like, I'm not, you know, it's like I'm sitting at 150 just now, so an extra 50 meg is like, yeah, it's fine. I'm having to pay £2 more.
I agree with you, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. Sometimes you don't know what that's going to unlock, that extra speed, because you don't envisage it. I agree. It's a bit like the processors. We don't really care when we buy a new laptop now. We don't sort of ache over the exact processor spec. Whereas in the old days, you know, a bump from 486 to 586 was just massive. Whereas nowadays it's like... dump to Pentium. Oh, that was exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah. You do.
Nowadays, it's in the rough vicinity of, you know, you're going to be able to do everything that you want to be able to do.
Yeah. But it's also things like, you know, El Capitan comes out, it's like 4 or 5 minutes later, it's down. And that's 6 gig.
Yes.
And you're uploading. You know, so the longest period is the actual install. Whereas, yeah. you know, 4 years ago, the longest period would have been that hour, hour and a half downloading.
I was going to say, it's completely swapped around, doesn't it? It's that the tiny seconds for the download and then just acres of time for the actual upload.
The good thing is, we talked about it last week with BT, and was it last time or the time before? We talked about BT's vision of like 5-10 years away, and it all felt...
Yeah, I think it was last time, yeah.
Felt quite unambitious. This Virgin do still seem to be pushing on. I mean, I think their slowest speed now is going to be 70.
Yeah, or something along those lines. So that's impressive stuff. But it's not a network that's available to everyone. It's a very, in effect, it's inner city. Other than that, it's potluck basically.
And they do suffer from contention, maybe more than others, and pings, not super stellar.
And this is all technology born by sort of, I guess it's going to be compression technologies and just squeezing more down the same pipe. It's not actually an upgrade of those pipes that are available. It's just more efficient usage of them. And I guess it could be anything, you know. So who knows? Maybe that's going to lead to slightly degraded performance. You just never know in the end. I guess extra 50 megabits, maybe it's bringing 4K properly into the realm of, you know, streamable. I know there are streaming services, but you do need a heck of a fat pipe to do that. We've also had Nexus events from Google. So they've been talking about lots of Google hardware. I guess the standouts, the Nexus 5X. So this is the next Google phone, if you like. This one is partnered with LG. The last time they partnered with LG on a phone, it was very, very well received. So they're quite excited about this one. The kind of headlines, again, all the devices they're announcing are running on Marshmallow, which is, I think, Android 6. So it should be coming out relatively soon. Comes with a nice big camera, good performance, good sort of underlying specs. And again, they're doing the good value as well, $379 in the US for the 16 gig version. So you're probably going to be talking a few more quid than that to actually get what you want, which is probably 32 or 64 gig, really.
And they're all coming with this fingerprint reader in the back.
Yes.
So this seems to be almost becoming a bit of a standard that a phone will have a fingerprint reader, and a fingerprint reader will be used to allow you to pay for things.
So yeah, you need that sort of. And they're saying it's quick identifying and gets more intelligent. The USB-C charging as well. Forgot to say that. Charges quickly. So yeah, it looks like a nice, a really nice handset. I'm quite tempted by it, since my old Android is now dying slowly under the weight of things. But there's also the 6P, which they announced, which is their bigger offering, 5.7-inch screen, starting at $499. So this is a bit more expensive. It's produced by Huawei, this one. But again, a massive camera on this 4K camera. So it shoots 4K video, which is unbelievable in a handset. I just can't believe it.
And what was quite telling was that it was almost point for point, same kind of, almost the same Apple demo. So it was like, here's all the lenses we've got inside, and here's how we've constructed it, and here's the difference it makes. And
the whole thing, when they were presenting that, did look very, very Apple.
Yeah. But the camera's becoming very, very important for people. And Android always had a bit of a whiff that it's been behind. But I think this year's Samsung's caught up. And the Huawei devices have been good. And again, you know, this is I think the camera is now not becoming a differentiator. It used to be, and I don't think it is anymore.
It used to be unusual to see the camera sort of sticking out the back of the phone.
But they're all doing it to get that.
It's really, they all do now, to get that thickness of lens. It's bizarre to see, you know, all of these handsets are spawning these, I guess, little, they're almost like camera stands, aren't they?
Because I use a case on the iPhone, I don't notice it.
Yeah.
But I know before I put the case on, I was like, I don't know if I like that little bulge.
Just sitting down onto the desk or whatever, yeah. Because it wobbles, doesn't it?
Yeah. Whereas when you put the case on, it doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, they are our main camera devices now. You know, a lot of people don't use a camera anymore for that very reason. And why would you, when you can fit a 4K camera inside of a 4K video camera inside of your mobile? Anyway, the device looked good. It's high end. It's all metal bodied. Looks nice, but it's more expensive. So it's still not megabucks. I think they're talking, so $499, get your 32 gig model, up to $649. This is dollars for 128 gig model. And Google are tend to be quite good at that conversion down to pounds. So if you do an online conversion, you'll work them out. I don't know. It's going to be 450, 500 quid, something like that.
Yeah. And I still thought the phone looked good.
Yeah.
I know there's, they do seem to be, you know, realizing that they do have to compete. They can't just have the, you know, you're cheaper and, you know, the iPhone's dearer. There's like lots of people are saying, well, I want an iPhone. I want that more premium product. So I think they had to do something to give them, you know, just a, you know, so if you want to go and get an iPhone 6S or you can go and get the Nexus 6P, or we actually do have some cheaper options.
Yeah, they suffer from it being a kind of non-event though, don't they? Because they can almost do that at the drop of a hat. They can put a new bit of hardware, because we see new bits of Android hardware coming all the time. So it's hard to make it an event like an Apple event, because, you know, it doesn't just happen once a year kind of thing.
But
I think these are big devices. I think this is the equivalent of that kind of Apple.
No, they definitely are. I mean, they're up there with, to me, you've got, you know, Samsung, you've got these Nexus devices, and you've got the iPhones. They're the kind of standouts. Yep. I know Sony do some cracking phones, but it's just nobody cares.
And no one tends to buy them. So,
yeah. No, and I mean, 13 million over the weekend for Apple.
Yeah, that's
6S
amazing.
And 6S Plus, which is like, that's ridiculous.
So these Android devices coming with Marshmallow. There's no massive standout sort of features we can say. It's got deeper integration with Google Now. It's got a kind of a quick app access on your home screen. But basically, it's underlying performance that it's really worked with. It's got a couple of it's got a power saving mode called Doze, which keeps things alive longer when it detects it's not moving and it's just sat there sort of doing nothing, which I guess phones are doing quite a lot of the time, really.
Yep. So Marshmallow's out next week. If you have got a phone that can be upgraded, but it reminds me of iOS 9. Just really some, you know, low level feature updates. You know, not a tremendous amount there.
Again, I'm looking forward to seeing whether it can fix my current phone as far as, you know, making it work a bit better. We'll see. But yeah, they also announced some new Chromecasts. So this is Chromecast 2. It's changed its form factor. It's like a disc now. And sort of quite attractive, I guess.
Is it just me? See, when I look at the Chromecast, it looks like the Beats logo in the middle.
It does. It does look Beats logo. You're right.
I look at it and go, and that's a beat. And then you realise, no, it's a Chrome logo, but it looks
like
a beat.
Yeah, it is the Chrome logo. Yeah. No, I agree. It does. They've got upgraded software on it. It streams over the latest sort of technologies. They've got new sort of front end in which you can have on, say, your phone, which allows a bit of content discovery. That's one of the problems with Chromecast was always content discovery. If you knew what you wanted to watch, a video from Netflix or whatever, great. You could go into Netflix and you could play that video. Off you go. Now they've added this sort of front end, which allows you to see what's trending on YouTube, what's trending on Netflix, what's trending on this and that service, all based on what you've got installed. Also shows you the apps that you have got installed that are Chromecast compatible. So it's sort of a nice, easy shortcut, which is some of the myth, you know, the shortcomings of the last one was, if you wanted to put a YouTube video onto your big screen, no worries. But if you were just sat there thinking, what do I want to watch next? It wasn't such a compelling thing.
No, because you'd fire it up and it was like a screensaver.
A very attractive screensaver.
Yeah, but it was like, it's telling me the time. And it's a nice background. But I do think they've looked at it and said, yeah, we do need to do a bit more there.
Yeah. And I think it's from the demo, it looked like it worked. $35 is, again, just a stupidly low price for a nice bit of kit. So if you want something to shove content onto your TV, then why not?
The kind of, I thought it was weird. They've got this, so there's a new Chromecast device, but they've also got this Chromecast audio device.
Mm.
Which you can plug into your speakers, and it,
yes,
and allows you to stream to, you know, older speakers or older technology that maybe doesn't. But it's two different devices. It's not the same device.
Yes, you'd imagine. Why can't you just have that lead?
Why don't you just have a?
There probably are
device?
Good technical reasons for not doing.
Maybe there is, but you know, it was like it's a $35 for a Chromecast for your TV, or it's $35 for a Chromecast audio device.
I don't know if they said it because I didn't watch this particular one. If you had multiple Chromecast audios plugged into multiple speakers, can you stream to all of them at the same time and make it into some sort of quick Sonos type.
They
computer.
Are saying not at the moment, but they are uh-huh. promising a future software update to do what Sonos does.
So that, I mean, that's a pretty, Sonos has got to be a bit worried about that.
Yeah, because a Sonos device is, what's the cheapest, 200 quid, 150 quid for that?
By the time you've got several devices around your house, you know, you're talking yeah. quite big bucks. That's, you know, that's how they make their money. They make a lot of money.
Got, if you've already got, you know, a hi-fi, so I've got a hi-fi next door, I've got one down the stairs. If I could plug in, you know, if I can spend, you know, 60 quid and get Sonos.
I guess the only thing on that is it's just a 3.5 jack rather than a yeah. you know, a more substantial audio jack. So for audiophiles out there, I'm sure there's good reasons to go with Sonos still.
There's a hassle. It's just sure. a hassle of it's a remote control to turn it on, and yeah. then it'll be having to faff around and cables out the back, whereas you can go and spend 150 quid and buy a Play One. And yeah. and yeah.
Yeah. Pixel C tablet was also announced. So that's it's a bit of a change from their sort of Chromebooks, because they are now running it off of Android. So it is a tablet. It's more like a kind of Surface or a you know, iPad Pro. It's like a tablet which you can add a keyboard to.
Well done, Microsoft, because basically Google and Apple have vindicated your Surface designs for the last 3 years.
I think I said this last time. I don't think they've vindicated it. I think they've just listened to people who've said they want it, and maybe, you know.
It's just the iPad Pro comes out right. and it's like, oh, it's a Surface. Oh, and there's a pencil and there's a keyboard. And
again, Microsoft got there first and didn't kill. No. Didn't make a killing.
And there's a Pixel C tablet coming out, which is high end, so it's not cheap. So I think it was $500.
Plus yeah. $150 for the keyboard.
So. Yep. You know, so Surface/iPad Pro type pricing. Maybe not iPad yeah. Pro pricing, but the iPad Pro is yeah. bigger. But it's iPad pricing. Yeah. And the keyboard, again, doing something a little bit different. It does inductive charging, so there's no connectors that charges nice. Off the tablet. So again, doing something.
And it didn't
innovation.
Need a kickstand to actually use the keyboard. I don't know how that was working. But you can have several different angles, but it was without a kickstand.
And it's all nice. Magnets, and the guy was swinging it around on the stage like that, and it was all holding. And
that's,
it was like,
that's a strong magnet.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to get that near your floppies.
No. Because I mean, when he did it, I was like, I'm guessing he must have done this like hundreds of times.
Yeah, can you imagine if it flew off? Yeah, I get it. Yeah, they had to be pretty sure it wasn't going to fly off.
Yeah.
But like I say, yeah, you wouldn't want near that your tape drives, would you? That would your old mixtapes be destroyed by it.
I never had an issue with mixtapes, but I did have a couple of floppies that got destroyed.
Oh, hello. Going to have to hang up on you. Gear VR. Samsung, Gear VR. This is the kind of, I guess, lightweight mini virtual reality headset. Going to work with any new Samsung phone, and it's only going to cost $99 to buy one of these things.
So this was Oculus did a show. I'm just after we podcast last, and I there was some Oculus news in there, but it was all about, you know, Minecraft's coming and other bits and pieces. Yeah. But this was the bit that was interested me. It's just the fact that it's like $100.
Are they doing first person Minecraft on the Oculus? Can you jump around as the little man in the Minecraft world? Wow. I'm sold. I want one.
But they were I guess the other bit that was interesting was the amount of content deals. So Netflix is now available.
Wow, okay.
So it wasn't it's coming soon. It's if you've got a headset, you can download Netflix, you can sign on with your account, and you can watch TV on your second-person screen.
So, and I guess the size equivalent of that is going to the cinema, effectively, I guess,
and that's by wearing this little headset. That's what they're going with all these content deals. So they're saying they're signing up a number of different, you know, TV/movie/streaming folk.
The future is weird, isn't it? What people are going to be doing in 10 years is going to be quite strange. We are literally going to go and sit in our lounges with headsets on and be in our own little world, and probably have to virtually insert other people who are around you with their headsets on. If it does turn out, physics has said that we might be living in a computer simulation, right? We're getting to the stage now where that simulation is about four layers deep.
Well, if you think when I'm thinking of things like Total Recall, remember it's like they kind of wake up and you think,
yeah, are you awake or are you not? What level are we at?
And it was all that different. Oh, I want to view this, and it's a different. The whole wall was a screen.
Are we really just wearing screens in a room somewhere else?
Yeah,
three levels deep. It's bizarre. The future. It's going to be strange. We I can already feel that kind of. In my day, we went outside and had played. You know, so
And my idea, I read books, none of this YouTube nonsense.
None of this inject books straight into your brain stuff going on nowadays. That's not real reading. It was the joy of turning pages. And in fact, it was the joy of clicking the next button on your Kindle. I remember the smell of my Kindle. It was great.
Oh, that plastic.
Yes. That Gorilla Glass. Loved it. Anyway, right. I think that we've got to the end of our podcast. So I haven't got a pick. Have you got a pick?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good stuff.
Shooty Skies.
Right.
I had to be very careful. So this is like the, this is another from the Crossy Road developers.
Yes.
So it's great. So same style graphics and you're in a little aircraft, lots of enemies. So it's just like a top-down shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And very addictive. Free.
Same kind of graphical style?
Yep. It's free. And the nice thing is it's got some in-app purchasing, but again, you don't need it. So, you can do it if you want, and it's totally one of these. Yes, we've got in-app purchasing, but it's not punishing. It's not like one of the horrible EA ones, which is like, oh, you want to play again? Give me £5. You want to play again? Oh, give me £5.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Shooty Skies free on the App Store.
Shooty Skies. I don't know if it's on Android, but it's on iOS.
Okay, I'm just starting out with Batman: Arkham Knight on Xbox One, so I will give my opinion on that when I've got sufficiently through it. And also I did buy the latest Oblivion, that the multiplayer one, the massively multiplayer, so I'll give an opinion on that at some point when I've had a bit more time to play.
Did you buy Forza?
No. There you go. Shows how much down the list that one is. I'm waiting for, as soon as that's £15, I'll go and buy it.
I might pick up at Christmas. No interest.
It's not held my attention enough, so at some point I'll probably get it, but I will pay the value of how much value I'm going to get out of it, which is probably about 4 evenings playing, and then that'll probably be it.
Anyway, 4 weeks.
4 weeks till
Halo.
Oh, Halo. Is that only 4? Oof. I'm gonna disappear off from this podcast now because I'm very excited. More information about us, digitaloutbox.com is the website. info@digitaloutbox.com if you want to talk to us. And Twitter is digitaloutbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. Racing antics are all on academyracer.co.uk. About you, Ian?
Website is iand.net. Twitter is Shweepa.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And we will talk again next week. Goodbye.
Ta-da.
Time to relax. Have a nice weekend. Goodbye.